kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
So she was sitting here and she was playing Riptide, though, and like she'd done the race 4 or 5 times. And finally she just puts the controller down on the table and she goes, you know what? I have officially rage quit.
Oh, what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me, as usual, CJ. CJ, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's wonderful. Good to hear. Special guest co-host joining us today, Cole Martin, Eternal Rage. You are back. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Are you sure you're doing all right?
No.
I heard there's some drama llama in the goat household.
We have new babies.
Babies? I didn't know you were pregnant.
No, not those kind of babies. Goat babies.
Goat babies.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Two of them. Oh, my God. Do you know what it's like to wake up in the morning and just be like, surprise, we have goats?
I'm assuming that's pretty common for you.
Is Winchester getting his fuck on?
It was the first time that, and I woke up. And I could hear something, and I thought it was my cat walking around. But then the cat walks past me and doesn't make any noise, and I was like, huh? And then I thought, maybe there's a stray cat outside, because when you live in the middle of the woods, that shit happens. And so I'm sitting here, you know, and I'm like eating my breakfast, and I got thinking about what all I got to do during the day. I'm functioning on 4 hours of sleep because my daughter has the precursor to appendicitis. And so I'm like, And then I hear it again, and it hits me like a ton of bricks. That's a goat. Sure enough, I go outside, and there's this little tiny goat following my mama goat around.
Oh, my Lord.
And I'm like, okay. Oops. The terrible part was, I had to go to the doctor that morning. So, you know, I rushed to get them all situated. And you know, you make all these big plans when you have goats. Oh, I've got a kitting kit and all this stuff prepared. I didn't have any of that shit. And I'm like, ta-da, goat. I go to the doctor, and I come back, and there's two. There was another one while I was gone.
Oh, my God.
And I have two goats.
Winchester, you stud.
Yeah, right? Now I get to charge a fortune because he's proven that he can breed. So, yeah.
There you go.
Start a goat business.
Good yeah. Lord.
Because people hate to keep billy goats because they're assholes. And so, like, people that breed goats don't even want to keep them. But I don't care because Winchester is awesome. So
doggy in the background.
There is always a dog in it, but he's over there chewing on his own damn foot. I just want to point that out. He barked at himself because he's chewing on his own foot. So
why are animals like biting themselves the funniest thing?
Donovan's a special case anyway.
They're like cats like gnawing on their own tail.
Yeah. Crow doesn't do that. Crow is just big and hateful and he just like stares at people. Makes you feel uncomfortable.
I like it when cats are like kind of laying on their butt and they're just like leaning over licking their stomach. It's like the funniest thing in the world to me. Every time I see my cats doing that, I just go, they'll stop and look at me.
The best thing to me is when the rabbit is grooming its ears. I love to watch the rabbit just grab its ears and pull it. It's hilarious to me. I don't understand why. But every time I see it, I just go,
oh my God, that giggle. Holy shit.
Yeah, you can't help it. You're just like, funny enough, that's the same sound I made over the baby goats. And then everybody was like, oh, what are you going to name them? I'm like, I don't know. At this point, all I've said is, oh my fucking God, you're beautiful. I love you so much.
So cat that's and dog. Names. Name them cat and dog.
Well, see, I feel like I have to go back to Supernatural well, because Winchester's name is from the show Supernatural.
Mm.
Oh, so, I figured.
I don't watch the. I thought it was a Shaun of the Dead reference, honestly.
I actually haven't seen that.
What?
That's such a good movie. I watched the movie with Joe for once. But I've seen it.
You're fired, Eternal. We can't do this.
I am like Castiel from Supernatural, and 90% of the time I'm standing here going, I don't understand that reference.
Okay, well, your homework is to watch Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Yes. I kept
it. It is a send-up of, like, Dawn of the Dead. And it's...
You would think, as much as I love horror, too, that I would have at least seen
it's a total goofy horror.
As a horror fan, how have you not seen Shaun of the Dead?
I know it is bad.
Oh,
that's
my
okay.
God.
I was getting grilled earlier because I was like, you guys keep using the word Metroidvania, and I don't even know I knew it was a mashup of Metroid and Castlevania, but I haven't ever played any of those games, so I don't understand.
You've never played any Metroidvania?
Uh-uh.
You never played
like hard to believe
type games. But I haven't played Metroid or Castlevania.
Oh.
So I'm like, when you guys keep using that mashup, I don't understand what it means.
I played Castlevania, but I've never played Metroid.
Okay, your other homework is to play Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
So you got a lot of homework this week,
that's
huh?
That's the one that was on 360. Man,
yes.
I got a kid with appendicitis, though.
Symphony of the Night is on 360, and it is playable on Xbox One. So you need to play that.
My 360 bit the dust about a month ago. Number one finally killed it.
Oh, so,
no, that sucks.
A little red light on the power brick. I think I can order a new power brick from
Amazon.
Yes, you can.
So I'm going to need a new one because you got to hear that noise that mine makes when it first starts up. It sounds like a blender.
I used to make the joke that the jet plane was taking off in her room because you could hear it on the other side of the house.
And eventually after a few minutes it calms down, but...
No, hers never calmed down. She would have to turn her fan in her room and point the fan at the power brick. I'm sitting there going, oh, you really like Minecraft? But I'm thinking that thing's about to blow up. And so finally,
well, now they got an Xbox One, don't they?
No, they don't yet, but they want one. And I think I may use my art commission next month.
There you go.
So,
I just got to say,
she's already got her gamer tag all planned out and everything. So I should probably quit being shitty.
Yeah.
Thank you. Xbox.
I just got to say, I'm surprised how many times on this show I'm like, I can't believe you haven't played this, or I can't believe you haven't seen this, or I can't believe you don't know what this is. Like, what is wrong with everybody I have on this show?
You just keep hiring people that are either young or, you know.
God.
Well, I don't know what the class
is. I'm old and out of touch.
I miss Chris.
At least Chris knew what you were talking about.
Anyway, we have a show to get to, and later on in the show, a really, really fun interview with Xander Cumming of Badland Games, as well as Kunal Majmudar of Sword Tech Games, so that they could talk about the recent news that Badland Games has picked up Pixel Noir from Sword Tech. You probably recognize Kunal. He has been on our show a number of times across the years. He actually did our original theme song for the show, which, because Kunal's on, I played it this episode. But, yeah, it is such a joy for me to see such a good friend of mine picked up by Badland Games, who have churned out just awesome games over the past year and a half that we've been doing reviews on this show. So I'm super, super excited for Kunal.
That's awesome. I thought I had recognized that name.
Yeah, he's been one of my biggest supporters since the early days, clearly since he did the music. But he came up to hang out last week, and he mentioned that they were going to put the press release out last week. And, well, I guess 2 weeks ago he visited. Weeks just blur together for me at this time anymore.
Well, when you got so much shit going on, you know, but, it's just all 1 week.
Last Tuesday is when the announcement came out. The press releases went out that Pixel Noir was picked up by Badland. And, God, I am just so happy for him. I am so happy for him, for the team. It is so cool. So we talk about that a whole lot later on in the show. But we have some reviews we got to get to.
Yeah, none of them are by me.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what the hell you're going to do. You got to, like, sit here and look pretty for once.
She's going to argue with me.
No, because I haven't played the two games that you're, at least I think. I don't remember what you're reviewing, but I know played one of them.
I don't pay attention to what you do either, no.
Well, I mean, I know one of them at least. I'm nice enough. Oh, I do know both. Oh, I've seen one of them. Actually, I can't argue if you have bad opinions about one of them.
But
not that I've played the game, but I've seen it a lot.
We're going to kick off with a game that neither of you have played yet, and that is Psychonauts in the Rhombus of Ruin. This is developed and published by Double Fine Productions, released February 21st on PlayStation VR for $17.99. Psychonauts in the Rhombus of Ruin is an all-new virtual reality adventure that takes players back into the mysterious and paranormal world of Psychonauts for the first time in over 10 years, bridging the story from the original title to the forthcoming Psychonauts 2. First off, let's get this out of the way. The game is, like, ridiculously gorgeous. The script is amazing. The voice acting is fantastic. It is so cool to be a part of the Psychonauts world. I don't know if either of you have played the original Psychonauts.
Dude, you gotta stop asking questions like that, because you know you're gonna get bad answers.
Hey, this was on the original Xbox. I figure there's a chance on this one.
I do actually own it on Steam. I just never got around to playing it.
See, so you do own it. So you know what it's about, at least.
Yeah.
How about you, Eternal?
No.
God damn you two. Anyway, Psychonauts is the story of Raz, who has, you know, psychic abilities, so he could, like, communicate telepathically, or he could levitate items, or he could burn things. You know, he has a multitude of abilities that he can use to his disposal. And in this game, it plays out like a point-and-click adventure game, but in a first-person perspective.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool twist, because, you know, the original game was a third-person action-adventure title, and it kind of just switches gears to be more of a narrative experience than, you know, a full-on game. In traditional point-and-click style, you look around. Pretty much your cursor is basically your eyes, your vision. So whatever you're looking at, you know, it'll highlight that you could either interact with it or possibly burn it, lift it. If it's a person, you can pretty much go into them telepathically, so you can jump from person to person, and it could help
you burn them.
You can, like, use the ability on them, and they might sizzle, or they'll go like, ow! But no, you can't set people on fire, unfortunately.
It would be CJ to one of our
videos. Gotta test everything.
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
I'm trying to think what the one GameCube game was. I think it was Geist, where it was like a first-person shooter that the whole point of the game was, like, jumping from person to person. It reminded me a lot of that, clearly without the first-person shooting aspect, but the whole goal of the game, and to solve many of the puzzles, is you have to jump from person to person, kind of like changing viewpoints for a lot of stuff, to find clues, to find answers, to move on. It does lead to a lot of sections that are kind of boring, where you're just, like, jumping, like, a lot of it takes place undersea, and you jump from, like, a fish to another fish to another fish to another fish to another fish. It lets you explore the, you know, get a good view of the area, and it allows the characters to talk and give you story and background information, but parts of it do seem to drag on a bit. That said, it is still a gorgeous game. It is beautiful. In the beginning, on a spaceship area, like, I could even see dust particles floating around.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I thought was really neat. I was like, is there something on my... holy shit, no, that's just dust floating around in here. So that was pretty cool. In traditional point-and-click adventure style, there are also a number of times where you will get lost, or you won't know what you have to do, and there's a lot of trial and error of, like, jumping from person to person, trying to figure out, do I do this? Do I, you know, is there something over here? Let me push this and try over here. Or let me jump over to this person. And just looking for any kind of clue possible. And yeah, there were definitely some frustrating moments where I'm just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I actually replayed the beginning section of the game twice, because the first time I did it, I couldn't figure out what the hell I had to do. And the one character is in a bathroom, and, you know, if you knock on the door or something, he'll stick his hand out like you have to give him toilet paper. And I, dicking around, burnt all the toilet paper. And I was like, did I just screw myself? Could I, you know, did I have to give him a second roll? Because I did it the first time and it was fine. This time around, I gave him like 7 rolls of toilet paper, I think 4 pillows, 3 magazines, a book. And I guess he wasn't the key to it. I felt like I clicked with and interacted with everything in the ship. And I don't know if it was like time locked that the thing wouldn't proceed. The next tutorial would pop up. There were just some frustrating moments where I didn't know what the hell I was supposed to do.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Overall, though, the game is a lot of fun. It does vary things up quite a bit with physics-based puzzles of, like, having to move things around. There's some, like, a nifty sliding block puzzle that I interacted with. There's trophies in the game that are sure to piss people off because they are missable. And if you miss them, you're going to have to go back through the whole game to do things because a lot of them relate to certain puzzles that you might not think to try at first.
Okay.
For example, one of the puzzles requires you to deconstruct an item, or 2 items actually, and then combine parts of them to create a new item to use in the puzzle. And one of the trophies relates to combining an item with the item you're not supposed to combine it with. And then you would have to re-deconstruct them to combine it with the proper item. It's just like stuff that you wouldn't think to try, or you would do by accident.
That makes sense, yeah. But that's weird.
And then the sliding block puzzle is like, complete it in 20 moves. I'm like, yeah, fuck that shit.
Ugh, I hate achievements like that, where it's just like, or like time limit ones where it's like, you have 20 minutes to solve this puzzle of Minesweeper. Yeah.
Overall, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal since it's not the longest game in the world, but it is a fantastic experience. It's just great to go back into that world to see these characters again. The script from Tim Schafer is fantastic. I think for $18, if you are a fan of the first Psychonauts game, this is a must own. If you're not familiar with the Psychonauts universe, it might not be as big of a must own for you. I would probably recommend, since you have a PlayStation 4, the original Psychonauts is available to buy as a PS2 classic on there for, I think, like $10 or something. So look into that. And if you like it, go for this. But if you are a fan of the series, I think this is a must own.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Comments, questions, anything?
Psychonauts.
Eternal, you're awfully quiet.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to keep you invested since you're here for the whole thing.
I'm sorry, my kid was coughing, so I muted it to ask her if she was okay.
Goddamn kids, and they're coughing and they're being sick.
Needing emergency surgery and stuff.
It's the goat virus, right?
Yeah, huh. That would be easier to take care of because at least I'd go get something at Tractor Supply for that.
Anyway, speaking of viruses, I guess we'll kick off with your first review of the night, and that is the game Vaccine, developed and published by Rainy Night Creations. You might remember them for their game Freeze Me that released a couple of months back. This one released February 21st on the Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $9.99. Find a vaccine for your infected friend before the time runs out, but be aware your friend will relapse sooner or later, and you'll have to find a new vaccine in a new, randomly rebuilt house. Will you be able to uncover the mystery to save your friend once and for all? Eternal, what do you think?
So, I was really excited for Vaccine, and I've been looking forward to it for a while. But I have to address the elephant in the room first, and that's just the controls are ass. The controls are so bad.
And I've heard that multiple times.
Just trying to get out. You know, a game is consciously aware if it's exceedingly high difficulty when it gives you experience points just for managing to open the door. And Vaccine does that. I opened the door and it popped up 1 XP and I went, fuck. Because you just already know that it's not a good look.
Well, I gotta say this, for the people who don't know, this is a game very much designed to replicate a PS1 Resident Evil experience. So you're looking PS1 style visuals, Resident Evil 1 tank style controls. It's a conscious design decision. It doesn't mean it's going to be a hit with everyone, but it's very much like how Freeze Me was very much an N64 platformer.
Mm-hmm. And anybody that's looking for that specific type of gameplay, they're going to be thrilled with Vaccine. And I'm sure there are tons and tons of people who are going to be like, oh, this is amazing. But for me personally, the way that you move with the controls is left and right, literally turns your character left and right, and then up or down is back or forward, regardless of which way you're facing. So,
yep, take control.
If you're fighting zombies like that, I'm guessing they're zombies. They seem like zombies to me, but there are a few of them who are not quite so zombies. And oh my god, if that rat jumps out from under the piano at me one more time, I'll cut a bitch.
Have you ever played the original Resident Evil games?
And I had not. I had not played them. And so
here's some more homework for you.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to admit.
You ain't done it either. So I honestly figured
you would have played the Resident Evil remake since it's on Xbox One.
I have Resident Evil 4.
No, I'm talking about the remake. Resident Evil 4 is when they changed everything to the third person perspective, because believe it or not, Resident Evil 4 still has the same tank controls where left and right turn you left and right, forward and back move you forward and back no matter what. It's just the camera is behind you instead of fixed.
I've got it there and I'm still not ever gonna play it. Thanks.
I can agree to that. Like, the game wasn't good anyway, Resident Evil 4.
I have a goal. Snap. Shots fired. Get through this review.
Yeah, let it finish.
No, it's okay now. I lost my train of thought. Okay. Tank controls. Anyway. Fucking rats under pianos, though. I really did lose it. God damn it.
Sorry. I mean,
it's okay. You should be sad. Look what you did to the old lady.
You'll be fine. I believe in you.
This time tomorrow, I'll be like, hey, remember the rest of that review? I remember it now.
That's why I write things down.
Yeah. I've had a rough week. Bear with me.
So tell us, what is the... You know, we've covered the controls of the game.
Okay.
So how does the game play? Like, what is the point of the game?
You start in the house, and your friend is a really shitty friend and manages to get infected, apparently, again and again and again. infected with what you don't know at the beginning. It's just that dumbass is convulsing on a bed. And it's up to your job to manage to spin yourself around and not walk backward into the zombies 97 million times like I did. In order to uncover the mysteries of the house, which randomly generates every time you start. And to find a vaccine to keep your dumbass friend from dying from the disease they continually contract. Somebody should put them in a bubble. Find a new friend. I don't know. At that point, you just got to cut your losses. But the game, it randomly regenerates. And every time you start over, you have to go through. You have to find your weapons. You have to, you know, find clips. There's various items scattered throughout. Each room as you explore that can give you status effects to speed you up or slow you down or change the way that you interact with things. It's really well done. And there's like a closed circuit camera kind of perspective to it,
mm-hmm.
as you move through the house, which is really, it's well done. And it's a neat way to look at the game. And based on the actual, you know, subplot, that was one thing that surprised me, by the way. There's a whole plot to it that you have to uncover as you explore and look for the vaccine. So if you can manage the controls of it, there's a lot to a game that gets packed into a 30-minute period, because you have 30 minutes to find the vaccine before your friend just kicks the bucket and you're done with.
So it sounds like it encourages replayability, especially with the random house designs.
Exactly. You're not going to get bored. You're going to get frustrated because you're spinning in circles if you can't master those tank controls. But you're not going to get bored while you're doing it. It's genuinely fun to load it up and go through and see what you're going to stumble into or see what kind of new monsters you are. Even the monster types that will spawn, those fucking rats, they're different every time, and you're always going to run into something a little different. The overall story, like I said, it has the plot to it where, you know, there's almost a sci-fi aspect hidden in there, and I wasn't expecting that at all. I was just expecting go in, slash a few zombies, get a vaccine, and get out. But there's a lot more to it without giving anything major away. And I was genuinely impressed by all that.
That sounds cool. It just seems like you were good with the game and the game design. It was just the controls that you couldn't.
Yeah, and that's something to, you know, consider. That's me, and I have, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, and that affects how I can play things. So I wasn't expecting, well, when you say, you know, Resident Evil style, I'm like, hey!
Well, but welcome to the life of everybody in the mid-90s playing Resident Evil 1.
Okay, there's a fair point that they're trying to go old school, but who asked for tank controls ever again? Like, some who people. Wants that?
Some people.
That is, yeah. Like, you would think, I don't know, at least there could have been maybe an option in the settings or something to decide if you want to play that way.
Yeah.
Kind of like inverting your axis. Some people want to do it. Most people probably don't.
There's a chance they might hear the feedback in an act like true controls instead of tank controls, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of people would enjoy. But, you know, there's a lot of people saying, you know, who would want, you know, tank style controls and PS1 visuals?
There's people that do.
Think of the people who are like, who wants pixel style games? Like, I want pixel style games. That's what I grew up with. And we've early in the show, we actually had discussions on, you know, do you think we'll ever get to the point where people see early PS1 graphics and be like, man, that's what I want a game to look like? Because I look at an early PS1 game and I'm like, this looks like shit.
Yeah.
And then other people look at it and they're like, that's what I grew up with. That's what I want again.
Well, funny enough, like, I get that point, but my dad, somebody that grew up with pixel art, he's like in his mid-40s. He's like, he hates pixel art. He does not want to see that anymore. He wants to play a real game now. That's what he calls it. He's like, I don't want 16-bit shit. I want new graphics. I played that shit when I was young. I'm done with it.
But yeah, I can guarantee you there's an audience out there who wants PS1 visuals and who wants tank controls.
But so, if they listen to the review, know that, hey, I thought your game was pretty awesome, but if you could put in some, you know, super dummy, easy pussy crybaby controls, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Hopefully they hear the feedback and they enable it, because I think that might be one of the big things holding the game back, is just so many people are not familiar with tank controls. And,
you know, legitimately, for my review of it, if you'd say, okay, well, what are you going to give it? I would say try it as it is. But if they were to make it to where you could interchange the controls some way, just make it a tick box in the menu, and I would be like, oh yeah, go buy it, because it's otherwise it's a lot of fun. It can be a little frustrating, and it's difficult, but the controls shouldn't hold you back more. So
there you go. Makes sorry sense. I interrupted you. it makes sense. So
now let's just move on and not talk about Resident Evil 4. Yep.
Yes, we are going to move on right now to two guest reviews with our friends Hex and Purnell. So let's cut to those real quick. We are going to kick things off with Chime Sharp, developed and published by Chilled Mouse. It released February 24th on Xbox One and PS4 for $9.99. Chime was a much-loved music puzzle game on Xbox Live Arcade, PC, and PS3. What happens if you file away the rusty edges? New music plus new modes plus new visuals equals Chime Sharp. Purnell Vaughn, welcome back to the show to talk about this one. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself, good sir?
I am doing dandy, actually. Doing pretty good. How are you? We just covered
all
that.
All right.
Just covered
yeah,
that.
Just, look, yeah, but I think I missed the part where I was like, man, I'm tired. But that's what happens when you have a weekend.
We're both tired. We're mm-hmm. both just gone.
Probably makes for the best dialogue in its own right, though, huh? Delusional dialogue.
So I took a look at Chime Sharp a few months ago on the PC, and I remarked, because it was playable with gamepad then, that it was significantly easier with the mouse. How does it hold up with the official console translation?
Well, I've never played it with a mouse, but I can kind of picture the idea of, you know, click, move, click. But on the controller, to be perfectly honest, it seems to be perfectly fine for me. You know, they place the piece in your hand immediately. You move it to where you want it to go. You push the button to turn it like in Tetris, and then you slide it in the slot. So, I mean, and once you get used to it, you get faster with it. You kind of move around as you need to. And I don't think the game penalizes you too much for, like, well, it penalizes you if you're not fast enough, mind you. But I don't think it penalizes you for the whole dragging it over toward, like, across the screen or anything like that. I think it gives you enough time for that. Though, if you're playing optimally, you shouldn't be spread out that much anyway, because that ultimately leaves you vulnerable to a lot of lost time from dragging yourself back and forth across the map. So
very true. Well, for the people who don't know what Chime Sharp is, give us the rundown of what the game is all about.
Okay. Well, Chime Sharp is an interesting game, one that I played very incorrectly the first couple times I played it, where the goal is, I'm not sure if people have played Lumines, which is a puzzle game where it plays like Tetris with dropping blocks, but there's also a rhythm bar, like a beat timer, that goes across the screen and wipes blocks as it crosses over to the pace of the beat of the song, the BPM. This game has that same bar that goes across the map, but what your goal is to create square patterns, like, oh, it's like a big grid, so it could be like, say, like a 19 by 19 grid. I'm just throwing a random dimension out there. And on this grid, you get Tetris-like pieces that you have to place on it to form square patterns. So like 2x2, 3x3. I think there's some rectangular takes that it'll allow for too. But overall, you're making squares. And once the line goes over the square, it counts it as points. And the larger the square, the more points you get. However, whereas in Lumines, it would make the squares go away, in this game, it fills in a portion of that square, of the over the massive square grid you're trying to fill in, and you want to cover as much of that square, or that dimension of that board, as possible with these blown up squares. So you have a timer that's going down, and there's a music track that's playing, and the notes that and the squares that the line that's going across is to the BPM of the song. So make a square, line goes over, gives you points, and disappears. And the more of the grid that you overall cover, the more of the song that will begin to play. And you want to cover as much of this as possible before you run out of time. Sounds easy, but it seriously is not easy at all. It gets pretty challenging. Like, I think the highest I've covered on any of the songs I've beaten is about 62%.
Wow.
Which is not a lot. But that just means I need to get more practice, and that's all.
Indeed.
But it's actually a lot of fun. Originally, when I was playing it, I just kept overlapping the exact same squares over and over and over again, thinking that that's what I was supposed to do, just not just stay in one small spot and not go out too far on the map. But that's not how the game works, and I suffered for it in the end. So
yeah, it's definitely a learning experience.
It really is, because it plays differently from pretty much any other puzzle game I can think of. And I've played a lot of puzzle games in my day. But it combines Lumines with, I want to say Tetris, but the blocks don't fall. It's just the actual, it's actually just the actual use of the space. So it's like another take on Tetris, if anything. You're matching the tetrads into formations, making the best use of them to cover the most space with each break. And it's, I think, honestly, it was a lot of fun. Like, at first I was like, this isn't very fun. I'm not enjoying this. I'm not quite getting the gist of what makes this special. But as I started playing it properly, the music started picking up faster. And I started realizing, oh, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what the timing bar is, what it's represented by, what it means. And before I knew it, I was addicted to trying to get higher scores. Now, I know there are other modes you can unlock, because what I just described was nothing but just standard mode. But unfortunately, I am still to the point where I haven't unlocked the other modes yet, because you have to do that by exceeding a certain percentage on the standard difficulty, or the standard mode, which is what I just described.
Yeah.
And I've only unlocked sharp mode on one song, and that was the one where I mentioned I got 62%. Sharp mode basically mentions, I'm actually looking at it right now, to be honest with you.
I just want to point out, it sounds like you're saying sharp mode.
Well, at this point, it may as well be sharp mode. There's going to be a lot of that going on as you stress yourself out trying to complete the song, or complete the grid, rather. But honestly, they have multiple modes. I can't even describe them all, but there's sharp mode, there's a strike mode, and then there's challenge. But all of those require you to do do well on the mode prior to unlock the one below it. So, like, I'm looking at sharp mode right now, and it says there's no time limit, but you only get 10 lives. And you lose your lives when fragments drop. And what I believe that means is when you leave blocks out that don't become squares. So it almost requires you to constantly keep chains going. And the moment you start letting blocks just fall off the map because you couldn't do anything with them, you start to die.
Damn.
So standard is about time, and sharp is about, you know, proficiency. That's what it sounds like to me. So more proficient you are, the better you do. So very it true. Rewards you for both play styles. That's kind of cool. I like that. Strike, I really wonder what that's going to be, but I got to actually not suck at sharp mode to get to that point. I don't know. But I think it's a great game. Like, I started playing it, wasn't really quite getting it, and I walked away from it. And then my work schedule kind of started beating the tar out of me. So I was like, where's my time? Oh, in the trash. I forgot. And then I had an opening like on Thursday or so, came back to it, and ended up playing it for like 2 hours. It was a lot of fun. I was like, okay, I got an opening. I can play this, and I'm enjoying the time I put into it. I can see myself doing a lot more of this too. Unlocked a bunch more songs. And I believe there are, unless there's more that I'm not seeing access to, there are a total of 16 songs in the game. I don't remember how many songs the original Chime had.
Oh, I don't remember. I'm just hoping that too many years ago for me.
Yeah, tell me about it. Time at this point, I'm like kind of just chopping at the bit here for time. But I feel like I'm just hoping that faster songs unlocked, because of the ones I've unlocked, none of them go over 140 BPM, which to me, a guy who plays a lot of Bimani games and jacks the speed mod up to like 4. That's too slow. I need a bar that's like shooting across the screen, and I got to think fast to get everything done. You know, I need that energy boost. So I'm hoping that some of the last four or so songs I need to unlock fall under that category and they get a little bit faster. Just for a game like this, that would be pretty nice and put a lot of stress on a person.
Which, yeah.
In a puzzle game, I want stress. I want frantic action, chaos. So. So you said you played a bit of it too at one point, right? You said you played on the PC.
Yep. A few months ago, we covered the PC release of it. And back then I was like, I would love to see this come to console, because that's where I first played it with the 360. But playing with a mouse, it just felt like a whole different game to me. So I'm eager to go back to it on the Xbox One and go back to the controller controls. But it felt like when I played it with controller on PC, it felt like the mouse was easy mode, because you could just put the mouse cursor where you want the piece, click the button to turn it, and then the left click to drop it. And it just felt it felt like easy mode for the most part.
Yeah, I can definitely say this. It allows for more precision.
Yeah.
Speedy precision at that. So I can definitely grasp that. And I think Chime also has a special place in my heart in a way, too, because the original Chime was originally a charity game, actually.
Yeah, and you got 50 gamer score when you just started the game up.
That I didn't even remember.
Yep, because it was like, thank you for supporting, thank you for your support or something like that.
Yeah, see, I can appreciate stuff like that. And it was a quad, it was a decent game, no less, so it wasn't like you were buying, you know, Trash Can 2000 with the intent, like, well, I don't want this dumb game, but hey, charity, right? You know, no,
Trash Can 2000.
If someone hasn't made it, you need to get on it, because now's the time. I kind of want to play it now.
So overall, for $10, what do you think?
Oh, buy the heck out of it. As long as you like puzzlers, music puzzlers specifically, though. Because if you're trying to play well, you're going to be hearing the same music a lot. But as long as you're okay with music puzzlers, I say it's worth a go. I'd buy it, especially for $10. It's not a great deal of money. And worst case scenario, you get to hear 16 new songs you've never heard before.
Very true.
And you're bound to like some of them. One of them is Chipsel. So there you go.
Hey, good stuff. Before I let you go, though, I did want to address the elephant in the room. You referred to a PSP game. What did you call it?
Oh, Lumines or Lumines?
That's exactly what I've never heard it called Lumines before.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the actual pronunciation, to be honest with you. Like, I used to call it Lumines too.
As you were talking, I actually looked it up online, and you were right the first time. It is Lumines.
Because, it really is Lumines?
Yes.
I'm mad at myself then because I was calling it Lumines. And then people corrected me and said, no, it's pronounced Lumines. And I guess it is. Whatever, you know. So I started calling it Lumines.
I have never in my life heard Lumines, but looking online, there's like a pretty split community of like, no, it'll always be Lumines to me. And everyone's like, it's like the word luminous.
Yeah, luminous, but like light, bright light. And it makes perfect sense. It's that moment where you're saying it, and then someone corrects you, and you immediately jump on, crap, I guess I was wrong this whole time. I guess I better just get it right, and then turn out you were originally correct. And you've been saying it incorrectly.
Yes.
For years.
You were right to trust your instinct on that.
Trust my might. Going forward, I learned a valuable lesson here.
No, I'm glad we tackled that subject.
I'm glad we did too, because next time somebody corrects me, I'm like, get the hell out of here, jackass. I know what's going on.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
The word is luminous, like the word luminous, because there's light.
And if you don't like it, there's a dick you can suck right here. I'm not complaining one bit. Get on it. You gotta be kidding me.
Oh, man. Well, Pernell, thank you so much for your help, and you have yourself a good night.
Thank you, good sir. I wish you the same. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to review this bad boy.
Anytime. And we will talk to you soon, because I know you have another game in the works for us as well.
That indeedy I do.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Bloody Boobs. Yes, Bloody Boobs. We keep it high class here on SML. This one is developed and published by Edward Bulishov, I think. It released February 10th on Steam for $2.99. Imagine that you are a young, beautiful girl with a tasty body, and it can only mean one thing. You're perfect for human sacrifice for an ancient god. Our good friend Hex Martinez covered this one. Hector, welcome to the show for the first time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing great. My boobs are bloody.
Your boobies are bloody?
Yes.
Is that why you're not wearing a shirt right now?
That's why I'm not wearing a shirt right now, yeah.
Sweet. So yeah, what did you think of this game? I tried playing it myself. My PC is notoriously a bag of shit and wouldn't really run it that well. I did mess around with the character creation a bit, but yeah, what did you think of the game?
Okay, well, you've already experienced like 35% of the game, which is cool. Yeah, no, it's funny you say that. I actually had a really hard time running it on my computer, too. My system, it just would not run very well. I tried to mess with the settings, and it gives you two options, which is optimal and beautiful. And it didn't run well on either, so I had to go to a friend's house to check it out. But once I got it going, you get to really see the boob effects and the lighting effects, which are awesome. I feel bad. I don't want to just trash on the game, but it, you know, it like, delivers on what it promises, I guess.
It promises bloody boobs, and
they do get bloody.
Not, so what is the game? I know that the girl is a human sacrifice. What is the point of the game?
Okay, so the game starts you off with a character creation screen, and once you've got your character, you're dropped in a dungeon with a note that reads that you are going to be sacrificed, and in order to escape, you've got to find and activate four altars. So you're just in a, you're kind of in this dungeon maze, and you're running around from room to room, being chased by these weird, ugly werewolf creatures from Silent Hill.
Interesting.
And, yeah, they just kind of slash you around a bit until you find the altars. You do a cool little "We're Not Worthy" dance in front of the altar to activate it, and yeah, man, good stuff. You know, it's funny. I mean, the English in the game is broken, and the assets look like, you know, you're like generic medieval dungeon assets. But the boobs jiggle.
Yeah, the boobs jiggle. The ass jiggles. So they have
when you get hurt,
jiggle physics all around.
There's blood on your boobs.
So it gives what it promises.
Yeah, I mean, for $2.99.
I mean,
what do you want?
To be fair, you can't ask for too much for, you know, just $2.99. And the fact that this is meant to be like a party game with friends, like playing together online, I guess it's supposed to be like the one person controls the woman, and then your friends are supposed to be the beasts trying to track you down. Maybe I have no idea.
Oh, I didn't get to try the online. I think that that sounds like it might be kind of fun, maybe. It's like a tag, but instead of being it, you've got tits.
Play a game of tit.
Yeah, you're tit. So, yeah, man, that's all that went. That was pretty cool. Had a
game,
good time.
Game is just ridiculous. Again, like I said, my computer had issues running it. I did get to load up an actual game. It took a while, but I gotta say, like, the visual effects on there were really distracting. Like, it was incredibly dark for me.
It was so dark. Yeah, you can't see very well at all.
I had to eventually turn the filters off, and then the game played a little bit better. It clearly didn't look as well because it's supposed to be played with the filters on, but...
Beautiful.
It's such
more optimized. Those are your choices.
Such a weird game, but I saw the title and I figured I had to make this a part of the show. So, Hex, what is your honest opinion? For only $2.99, do you think this game is a buy it, a try it, or a deny it? Or we have our special fourth one for lower price games like this. Fuck it, why not?
Ooh, this is a fuck it, why not? I feel it would be a total deny it, but it has potential. I think that all the developer needs to do is make it so that it runs on, so that it runs easier on regular systems, and maybe throw in something absurd, like a weird character or just a weird voice clip or something would be fun. I don't know.
Well, I know the developer is active on Steam, and he is working on it, working on glitches, working on bugs, working on more content. So if
you
nothing...
throw Macho Man Randy Savage or Pee Wee Herman in there, and then you've got something great.
Fucking Macho Man, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
You're creeping through the dungeon, you just hear, "Ooh, yeah.
Art thou bored?"
You should hit up the developer and offer to do the voice acting for Macho Man.
I'm going to email him right now.
That'd be fantastic.
That would be really cool. So yeah, man, it's a fuck it, why not, if you've got the $2.99. I don't know if you'll be playing it much, is the thing.
To me, this seems like a good game that people are going to buy for their friends and gift it to them.
Oh, yeah, perfect gag gift.
So if nothing else, it's, you know, perfect for that. So for $3, I guess, yeah, fuck it, why not, seems like a pretty apt rating for it.
Yeah, I spent $3 on worse.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
Well, Hex, do you have any final words about the game?
Yeah, no, that's all I got. But thanks for having me on, Joe.
Editing.
I love it. You can't stop yourself from saying it every time.
I can't. I can't help it. I need to say it every time.
We know, but you still do
it. But thanks again to Purnell and Hex for checking out Chime Sharp and Bloody Boobs. Man, Bloody Boobs, that is a game.
I honestly kind of want to hear the review.
Weren't you paying attention, CJ?
No, that's the interview or the review that I walked away because I had to go to the bathroom? Question mark.
Cole, you heard it, right? What'd you think?
Oops.
All right. Anyway, moving on.
I'm glad you didn't ask me to review Bloody Boobs.
He asked me.
It was a Steam game, so I know. I'm still waiting on Through the Woods from you. So.
Oh my god! You know, I got on my new computer and I went to Can I Run It, and it still said no.
Oh my god!
I was like, well, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm guessing that one's never going to happen for the show.
When it comes to Xbox, I'll hook you up.
But anyway, moving on, the next game to talk about is called Bear With Me, Episode 2, developed and published by Exordium Games. It released February 15th on Steam for $4.99. Finally, in Paper City, Amber and Ted examine the burned steel mill and find a couple of new clues that might be able to shed a light on the case. While they are still catching up, new events keep unfolding and slowing them down. Could the infamous Reef King be behind all this? Was he the one that brought Red to Amber City? We covered episode 1 a few months back. No Pulse actually covered that one for us. We got our friend Jacob Garner to pick up the series for him, since No Pulse has kind of taken a break on things. And he sent in an email with his review of episode 2. So let's dive into that right now. He says, "Bear With Me, a point-and-click adventure from Exordium Games, is no stranger to the SML podcast. Having been reviewed previous by someone who isn't me, it was my turn to review the recently released second episode of the series. To be able to play episode 2, you'll need to also have purchased the first episode, which is currently on sale on Steam. I really enjoyed the first episode with its interesting characters, witty dialogue, and just under 2-hour runtime, which ended the episode on a cliffhanger before it wore out its welcome. I also enjoyed the second episode, despite some of the issues that came with making it a larger episode than the first. The second episode seems to have a 3-4 hour runtime, although I admit part of it could be just me being clueless as to what to do next and blindly clicking on everything. The new episode has our detectives entering Paper City, which also introduces a world map feature. Different areas of the city will become available to you as the plot calls for it, which can cause problems later on when trying to figure out puzzles. You can rack your brain trying to figure out why nothing is working, only to find out that an area is now available on the world map and you need to go over there to solve it. The puzzles have become more difficult in episode 2, which isn't bad, but much like a noir story, nothing is clear-cut as it seems. A general trope of the point-and-click adventure genre is combining different items together to make a new item, yet some of the items don't make sense because the game doesn't actually tell you that you need it. The biggest offender for me was early in the game when you have to get a set of keys out of a gutter. You already have a fishing pole in your inventory, but apparently that isn't good enough. You needed to take apart the fishing line, get a magnet from a different location, combine the fishing line and the magnet, and somehow that is how you pick the keys up, despite them being on a ring and you having a perfectly good hook. Fine, whatever. There were a couple of other puzzles like this which annoyed me, but nothing that clicking everywhere couldn't eventually solve. However, I don't know if this was a glitch or decision by the creators, but it was infuriating to me that the inventory menu would disappear every time you made a wrong combination. In the first episode, the game let you play around with your inventory and its menu, only disappearing when you were going to use the object or exit out of the menu. This time, it disappears every time you make a wrong combination, with Amber and Bear repeating the same lines over and over. I realize it doesn't seem like much, but during puzzles where you have to blindly grope your way through, all that time spent hearing the same sound clips and having to bring up the menu again gets really grating. Your sidekick, Bear, used as a help feature in the 2 episodes, usually be able to point you in the right direction when you're stuck on a puzzle. I found him to be less helpful here as the game went on. Not that I was looking for specific detailed instructions, but there were certain puzzles that he didn't seem to know where to go next or what we needed, instead giving a smart-ass answer. Like a true detective noir, sometimes you're on your own, kid. The dialogue isn't as sharp as the first episode, but it seemed like they were having more fun with it this time around. The game takes its time to work in various video game references, including a jab at No Man's Sky. Oh, God. Which were amusing, but ultimately feeling out of character for the game. I had a few issues with the sound, specifically at the beginning of the game, when characters' dialogue seems to cut 1 to 2 seconds before they finished saying their lines. Towards the end, one of the characters' lips kept moving long after the character had finished talking, and the subtitles didn't always match to what was being said. Minor stuff, as the dialogue remains fun to listen to and help build the characters. Episode 2 isn't nearly as well polished as the first entry, but it's still a great point-and-click adventure in a genre that always needs new blood. The plot, dialogue, and characters remain great and well-written, but some hiccups here and there prevented me from enjoying it as much as the first chapter. The team behind the game seems to update the game pretty regularly and responsive to the fans, so everything I just discussed may be solved fairly soon. The game has some replay value, as different decisions will lead to new events, just like the first episode. I highly recommend checking out Bear With Me, as it is an underrated adventure that more people need to discover. I really like the premise and characters, and I can't wait to see where the storyline goes. So thank you to Jacob for that. Sounds good, especially for only $5.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cheap to get a good game. And it's like $2.50 for the first episode right now, I think,
yeah,
on Steam. I don't know if that'll be over by the time.
I don't know, how
by the time this episode goes up, it might be gone. But
how long does the sale last? Does it say on the page?
It will when I go back to the page.
You son of a bitch!
It lasts until March 1st, so it'll
you
probably still be
there. You son of a bitch!
It'll probably still be there for...
It'll be there for like a day. So by the time people are hearing this episode, do it now. Like,
yeah.
Now, before it's gone. So... Do they have a special on, like, the whole bundle or, like, a season pass or anything?
No, there's a bundle, but it's, like, it's the same amount off. Like, it's $2.50 off the first episode and $2.50 off the bundle. So it's just the first episode on sale.
Eh. It still sounds worth it for how cheap it is.
Yeah. It's not bad. $5 an episode seems pretty regular for these kind of episodic games.
Yeah. And hopefully it continues. Looks like August was the first episode, February for this one, so maybe this summer we'll see episode 3. And if so, we should hopefully have a review for you.
And hopefully it doesn't switch hands again.
Yeah. Keep trading next off up. Reviewers. Last game to talk about today before we jump into our interview is called Shift Happens, and hilariously enough, when I went to look up information on like the price of the game, the top results were all Shit Happens. So Shift with an F in there, Shift Happens, developed by Clonk Games, published by Deck 13, released February 22nd on Xbox One and PS4 for $14.99, was previously available on PC for a while. Shift Happens is a cooperative platformer for two. You and a friend shift your mass, throw each other, and puzzle your way through four stages of stylized imaginary worlds, including the occasional backstabbing and taunting. Play with a friend on a couch, online, or even special single-player levels. So, Cole, what'd you think?
This game is fun.
Also, Joe, you were wrong.
I didn't expect to like it. Why was Joe?
Oh, across the 40 stages.
Also, no, Four Shift Worlds. Happens released February 22nd, 2017 on Steam. I think it was in early access before, maybe.
Very possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it just released on PC fully as well.
Yeah, my notes say four stages.
So he doesn't argue with me.
It's apparently four worlds with 40 stages, 40 levels. So
yeah, there's I think some of the worlds a little further than where I've made it so far though, but definitely the first one they have like little sub levels. So you complete the level and it unlocks access to another little sub-level. It's like a little mini level or a bonus stage.
So anyway, what is the game? Tell us about the game.
It's a platformer and it's very co-op heavy. It's really meant to be played with a friend. But you can play single player. And the single player levels are actually a little different than the co-op ones because you're still required to play with both of the characters that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And But I want to give some serious props to the game. It does a very good job of switching between the characters. I've played other co-op games where it can be a bit difficult to get back and forth between the characters that you're supposed to control, where you have to control them, you know, both at the same time with one controller. And
you're playing another game right that right now too.
Yeah. So shift happens does a really good job of putting the controls. You're only having to deal with one of the characters at a time, and you just move your right stick back and forth to go between the two.
Wait, you're playing something else? I don't have you listed for anything else. Are you cheating on us?
No, I meant like just she's playing Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time, which is another one that you switch between characters.
No, you're cheating on us.
Yeah, my kid has been playing that with her friends. When, like, if you notice a lot of co-op games going on the weekends, those are my kids.
Just seen what your kids thought of this game, too.
Yeah. Well, actually, I did enroll number one. She was helping me. She got sick and ended up going to the ER while we were sitting here playing. Shift happens. So it was.
I guess that was one of the incidents where shit happens, too.
Oh, man, indeed. But,
please. It wasn't so that funny.
Funny. Anyway.
Okay. There goes my train of thought. Again.
Gotta stop doing that to Eternal.
Can't help it. That's what happens when you come on here.
I can't afford the distraction. But no, it's really well done. And given that there are two ways to play, if you're playing single player, the single player levels are actually different types of puzzles laid out than the co-op ones are, because obviously it's a different how you would, you know, come to your solutions if you've got two people to move characters at the same time, as opposed to somebody who's limited to only moving one at a time. So
yeah, that makes sense.
There's benefit to playing it both ways. Additionally, it does have online co-op. So you're
which
not
which is
stuck.
Very cool to see. In
exactly.
This.
You're not stuck playing this alone if you don't want to play it alone. If you want to play co-op with somebody, there's going to be somebody to play it with you. And you can be the biggest hermit ever was, but if you hit the find a match, you're going to find somebody. And that's something that a lot of indie games would benefit from having online co-op. But very few of them are actually able to make good on it. And so when you see one that not only plays well, looks good, but has online co-op, you want to praise it to the heavens. And shift happens. It ticks all the boxes. It does a really good job. The controls are smooth. They're responsive. Some of the puzzles are dependent on one character jumping and the other grabbing a hold of them at the same time, basically catching them while they're in the air. And even when you are stuck with just yourself, single player with the one controller, it was responsive. If you hit that button, it happened. There was no questions asked. There wasn't any moments where I was like, oh, I messed up the whole level and died because I got to the end and didn't catch myself in time. It's really the timing and the responsiveness, it's well done.
Nice.
That's also something that's not overly common. So when you see it, you're like, yay.
This game kind of reminds me of like the modern time Battle Block Theater, a good co-op puzzle platformer.
Do I have to confess I haven't played that?
Oh, geez. God. Okay, now that one's offensive, honestly. It's offensive.
God damn it.
It was Games with Gold. It's backwards compatible.
I know. I've got it in my ready to install. But,
it's not
you know,
installed.
Your fourth bit of homework.
You are really racking up the games that you haven't played this week.
So we have the original Resident Evil that you have to play. We have Castlevania Symphony of the Night and now Battle Block Theater. And then you have to watch Shaun of the Dead as well.
God,
you got a lot of stuff.
It's going to be a tough week.
And you're going to come back next week and report every single thing.
And my kid has to have surgery.
See, then put the movie on your phone and watch it while the kid's getting the appendix out. Keep yourself entertained.
How's he doing? Can't answer right now. I have to finish this movie. I'll let you
know. Bring one of those games cases, which is the, you know, the setup where you can pour in an Xbox and just play Resident Evil.
Hospital rooms have TVs in them.
Bring your Xbox and hook it up to that.
What are you doing? I have to play this game before next week. Okay. Anyway, Shift happens. Please buy it. Please enjoy it. It is fantastic. It is really pretty. And I know a lot of people that have streamed it have streamed the first section, which is just a little bit boratory, but the further levels, especially the fourth, it's surprisingly a pretty game.
The dog agrees.
See, I'm glad that I didn't have to disagree with you on a review this week.
Yay!
If you would have said bad things, I would have been like, shh.
Listen, bitch, we're going to fucking fight right now. Knife fight. Internet knife fight.
I was going to say, there's another game that people keep comparing Shift Happens to, and now, you know, I've lost it, and I don't remember what it was called.
Proud of you.
But it reminds me, what is it?
I said proud of you.
Oh. Are you going to lose your train of thought again?
Where am I? What time is it?
Baby goats. That's all that matters. Okay, anyway, everybody keeps talking about how it resembles some other game that I can't remember. But it actually, playing through the co-op, reminds me of Splosion Man. Like, I keep thinking when I'm playing, I'm like, this feels like Splosion Man, and nobody else has said that. So I say it, it reminds me of Splosion Man, where you have to work together and talk to each other to get through the damn puzzles. And it's fun.
I can't say that.
Well, you know what? You would.
I can't, well, because I haven't played Splosion
you,
Man.
Fuck you, CJ. Oh, jeez. Now, Jesus Christ.
That's some homework.
CJ's homework for the week.
I have it on Xbox. It was free at one point.
You motherfucker. Yeah.
I just played Miss Explosion Man too.
I don't have
Miss Explosion. I haven't even played Miss Explosion Man yet.
It's not Mrs. It's not Mrs. It's Ms. Explosion Man.
Excuse me.
It is not Mrs. It's like Ms. Pac-Man. Anyway, that is it for our reviews. CJ, I feel bad you didn't get to review anything. So what are you playing?
Right now I'm playing Tales... I was playing Riptide GP Renegade.
Like, we even talked about this before the show.
CJ's bad at segues.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm not. That isn't a segue. It is an answer to a question. I mean, if you want the legitimate answer, I was playing that last night. I finally got all these.
Different question. What game did you want to glow about some more?
Riptide GP Renegade. No, that game is legitimately really, really good, though. Like, the devs were happy with the review. I'm happy with the devs because they made the game. It was all just a happy circle.
I think the best part about Riptide GP Renegade is everybody I have talked to about this game agrees that it is amazing. I'm not hearing any complaints.
I mean, number one was pretty happy with it, barring her, you know, moment of rage quitting.
Well, that's her own skill, so tell her to get good.
Yeah. Well, she's sick, I can understand. Because I was going to say, like, the game's not that difficult.
Your appendix doesn't play a game, you do.
Yeah, but you're going to be out of it.
She's medicated.
Yeah. Pretty strongly, scrub. I imagine.
Scrub. Get good.
Game's a shit ton of fun, though. God, I love it so much. Like, I completed it last night. I got all my achievements. Good job on hiding those Easter eggs. They were a little bit tricky to find.
Yeah, I found a couple on my own. But
yeah, I wound up finding like two or three on my own, and then the rest I just used a guide. Because it was my last achievement. I finished up all the first places in career mode, and I was like, well, this is the last thing I got to do. I might as well finish it. And one of them is a pain in the ass on the map Tropico. Oh, there was some back.
Probably Eternal.
Yeah.
Damn it, Eternal.
Yeah, I heard myself. I heard an echo, and I was like, what? Tropico, which is that party people map with Prieta and Frida, which those insane people that don't like clothes. But that map, you have to like grind on the wall in that sewage area, and it's pretty high up, and you got to like grind on the wall and hit it perfectly in order to get the Easter egg. That one was a pain in the ass.
the brutal one for me is the one with that you could only get on the third lap of like that middle thing that opens up that you have to slow down and just like graze the top of the egg. Was it like Grindhouse or something?
Yeah, Grindhouse is the first one I found because I noticed it when taking the shortcut. I was like, oh shit. And then I legitimately turned around and went back and did it slowly so that I could hit the Easter egg. That was the first one I found. Like, that one I did find legitimately, and it was just like, wow, this is a tricky one to get. I had to do it like, I think four or five times I had to turn around and go back because it was like, it is in that one spot that's like, you have to slow down, but it gives you a speed boost right there. Mm-hmm. So you have to try to figure out how to slow down, and that was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
It's a good game, though. God damn, it's so good.
Yeah, and I actually remember the names of most of the tracks now. Because I played it so much. I mean, there's only like 9 tracks in the game, and there's like, I'd like to say at least probably 100 races throughout the career mode. So you're going to be racing the same races a lot, and you're going to get used to the maps. And they're not always races, obviously. Like, there was the different modes like freestyle and stuff. But the 9 maps, you're going to learn them.
Yeah. And then a reminder, next week, next Tuesday, for the people hearing this episode on Monday or Tuesday, whatever day this is, next Tuesday, March 7th, Matt Small of Vector Unit will be joining the show, and we will be live streaming that one on Beam. And I'm dropping Twitch. I'm tired of Restream being laggy and crappy, and
nobody shows up on Twitch except Doc Havoc anyway.
And I'm going back to Beam only.
That's fine. So, by the way, I need to be on that episode. Just so you know.
Yeah, I figured.
I want to talk to that guy because I love his game, so I will be there.
Anyway, that is all for now, so stick around after the break. We will have our chat with Xander Cumming of Badland Games, Kunal Majmudar of Sword Tech Games, talking about everything Badland, Pixel Noir, and all that kind of fun stuff. So, Cole, any final words to end this segment?
Fuck tank controls.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Joining me at this time, I have two fantastic guests joining to talk about their joint project that has been whispered about and mumbled about on this show in the past. But Xander Cumming of Badland Games, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm very well, thank you.
And then returning to the show for, I don't know, like his dozenth time, something like that, Kunal Majmudar. Kunal, how are you doing?
I am fantastic. I was planning to hum the Rocky theme song, but I just didn't give me enough time to
go ahead. Going. Do it now.
No. I'm good. We've ruined the moment already.
Do it.
I'm sorely disappointed.
Do it.
So if you've been on 12 times, surely the people Wait, know everything there is to know.
Have I been on 12? I haven't been on 12 times.
I don't know if it's been, it's been a lot. You've been on this show a lot because this is episode, like, I don't know, 258 or 250. I have no idea what episode this is. But you've been coming on since, like, the early single-digit days.
Since the third grade.
No, the coolest thing is hearing how the theme has evolved. That's, yeah, like, my favorite thing.
Yeah, that's... And it's all because of you, because you started that.
Yeah, Xander, I wrote the theme song for when Joe launched the podcast years ago.
All right, so you got the writing credits?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Where's my royalty?
He gets the royalties. Let me check my YouTube ad revenue.
All those millions of dollars.
I'll mail you a quarter.
How have you guys known each other so long, man?
Did we meet at MAGFest, or because we met each other through an online community for 1UP Studios, which was like a video game.
I think we met before I started going at MAGFest. I'm pretty sure we met at either the 1UPs Live where I played with them, either that one or like right after it, but maybe at a barbecue or one of the mini queues or whatever.
Because I think we met before that, or at least that we've known each other online through that community and just through like the video game remixing community of like VG Mix, OC Remix. So we've known each other for quite a while.
Yeah, I actually went to Joe's wedding, Xander.
He did.
Played Guitar Man at Joe's wedding. Actually, one of my remixes was played in like while everybody was eating dinner. It was pretty cool.
You didn't play the SML podcast theme at his wedding.
No, that was the wedding was like 9 years ago. The show is only 4 years old.
Okay.
I guess basically what we're trying to say is that I've seen over the years grow into the big, beautiful, bold is today.
You poor bastard. you've had to deal with this for 10 years. Yeah, and through that time, I saw you grow from a nerdy video game musician to a nerdy game developer.
I know. Big jump there.
Yeah. So, since this is a video game show, clearly you guys are here to talk about a video game. And Kunal, you've been on our show for 4 years now talking about your project, Pixel Noir.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. Oh, it's been 4 years since you've been talking about this game, and there's finally some big news around the corner, huh?
It's actually been... Let me think about this. We're actually... This is year six for me. So we spent 4 years in incubation, kind of just developing the idea, putting our team together, just getting a concept idea out. You know, at the time when we first came up with the idea, we were thinking mobile first, and then we went and talked to a whole bunch of mobile publishers, and you know, you guys will be shocked to learn that, you know, every single mobile publisher asked us about, you know, what's our monetization strategy, where's the freemium content, all that stuff.
Microtransactions.
This is before microtransactions were even big, so...
The sausage vendor was a microtransaction.
Yeah, right. Right. You go in, you go to buy your bullets, and you have to pay real dollars or something. And...
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we ditched at that point. We're like, screw this, we're going to do this ourselves, and then we went to Kickstarter, and we were able to raise funding, and then so... We've been in development for 2 years. And of those 2 years, I think we've been talking with Badlands for about maybe 5 to 6 months, I want to say, that, you know, from when we first started talking. We got everything hammered out. It was probably, by that point, I think I'd talked to legitimately maybe 30 different publishers between mobile and
I had no idea.
And it was a grueling, painful, like every single deal we were looking at was just awful, honestly.
Well, but, I'm going to guess that given Xander of Badland Games is here, there was some form of breakthrough, or is this the public, we're not choosing you?
Yeah, no, no.
Thanks for talking to us, Xander, but we're moving on.
It's cool. No. Kunal knows a lot more than I do, purely because I've only been with Badland for like 2 months, so they've been talking a lot longer than I've been in the company. So
yeah. No, we love the deal. So like this is you. I will say this publicly that you guys, were the first to put something on the table where we felt really, really happy about it. Like we couldn't believe our eyes that you guys would you know, put your faith and trust into us in that way. So I was totally excited, thrilled, like no doubts at all when I saw, you know, not only the games on your label and when I saw the contract, everything just came together beautifully. And, you know, another huge vote of confidence for me was that when I asked Joe, hey, have you ever heard of Badlands? He was like, yes, I love them.
Yeah, because you guys have been amazing to our show in the time that we've been doing reviews, dating back to fall 2015 when Castles was first supposed to release on console.
Wow.
I contacted you guys about that, and I think in January of last year or December 2015, somewhere around there, I got an email that, hey, the game's been delayed, but here's a Steam code for it. And from there, I think we've covered every single Badland game to release since.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew was speaking to me a little bit earlier. He said he'd been on the show talking about, I think it was 8 days. Is that right?
I believe so. I don't remember. It's been too long.
So yeah, long may the SML Badland partnership continue.
Bring it on. I am more than happy working with you guys. You guys have been incredible to us, and I appreciate it. So treat Kunal well.
We'll treat him very well.
I'm making a heart hand gesture right now. Just want to get
just turn your camera on.
I'll post a picture later.
That works. So yeah, Pixel Noir, I guess it's official. Pixel Noir will be released through Badland Games.
We're doing it. It's a thing.
That is so awesome to hear.
It's happening.
We are so excited. It not only affords us the ability to actually, you know, get the game out there and known and you know, all of that good stuff, but Badlands is providing a lot of much needed support and a lot of, you know, helped us figure out a lot of the logistics around, you know, porting to different platforms. Joe, I know you're a huge Xbox One fan, and we were like, well, how the hell are we going to be able to do all of this, like that we, you know, that we funded at Kickstarter? It's going to be like, we're going to have to do one platform at a time, and it's going to take forever. But, you know, Badlands stepped in and said, nope, we're going to be able to provide porting support. They're going to give us additional testing resources, you know, localization. I mean, just a ton of stuff. So huge value add in the partnership for us.
Well, that's what it really comes down to. Like, if we can just do everything other than develop the game and you concentrate on making the best game possible, we'll handle the distribution and some of the marketing and QA.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, I guess I'll just I'll say it on air, but we were able to actually, just by Badlands coming in and doing some of the things and taking some of the stress off us that they are, we were actually already able to put some money back into development, and so we're able to polish up our game design and art and that sort of a thing a little bit more than we were planning to, which is awesome.
That's good to hear. So you're going to make the pixels even pixelier.
They're going to be, yeah, yeah, they're going to be 16 and a half bits instead of bits.
Sweet.
The pixels, I was, I don't know if I can say this, probably I can. I was playing the alpha earlier, and the pixels are looking really good as it is.
That's under NDA. You can't go talking about the pixels on this show.
By the way, pixels go up to 11.
Sword Tech does what Nintendo don't.
Oh, snap, oh, son.
By the way, I went back and I looked. Andrew Hoyle joins to talk about Badland Indie, Badland Games, and all their recent projects, as well as a few upcoming titles from Anima, Zenith, Castles, Dex, Ali Ali, Dead Synchronicity, Heart and Slash, yada, yada, yada.
Back catalog, definitely.
Yeah.
And you could throw Badland Indie into the back catalog as well. We're just Badland Games now.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I've seen that the Indies label kind of die off. What happened there?
I think it was more just to sort of synchronize the company throughout, like, Spain. Because obviously the main offices are in Spain, and the international division is operated out of the UK, where I work. So it was just a case of consistency, I guess is the right word.
I know with Badland Indie, it was always easy to tag you guys on Twitter because it was just at Badland Indie. And now there's Badland Games International and Badland Games UK. And I'm like, which one do I tag?
Oh, yeah. Might be better if we just close the UK account. Every now and again, we get notifications saying, oh, hey, at Badland UK, what's going on with this game? When it's like, oh, we don't check this account, like, whatsoever.
Okay, so I got to tag international. All right.
For the record, it's Badland Games INT.
Okay. Because I never knew which one. I'm like, well, everyone I talk to is in the UK, so maybe they're the ones who care. And then I realized no one really cares.
Nobody. And then there's also Badland Games España too, right? Or was that just Twitter?
So there's Badland Games.
Yeah.
It's Badland Games and there's Badland Games ES, which is the main Spanish division. So they distribute and publish in Spain, obviously, and we sort of handle the rest. But just for consistency purposes, we're all under the same banner, same umbrella.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. That makes sense. Hopefully I tagged the right people in the posts yesterday when we announced. Yeah. So
it's not the Badland game either. Sure, that's got an account.
The TV show Into the Badland is like, what the fuck are you doing tagging?
Who the hell is this Canal guy? And why does he keep bothering
us? What's a Sword Tech?
How do you pronounce that? Sword Tech?
Swid Tech?
Swids? I was saying Swid for like 2 days.
Swid Tech.
Oh, nice. most people don't, you know, it's funny, like, we picked that name because only a handful of gamers will actually know how to pronounce it, and those are the people who are totally into Final Fantasy. And so, like, sometimes we'll just be at expos and most of the time they're like, oh, SWD Tech sounds great, awesome, I'll keep an eye out for you. And we're like, great, man. But then you'll have like the lone gamer that comes along, usually like a few times a day, we'll see people drop by our booth and be like, is that Sword Tech? Like, Cyan's move from Final Fantasy? And we're like, yes, you're awesome. You're badass. We're giving you
thank
flag.
You. Thank you for noticing us.
Yeah, exactly. You get it. There's got to be a meme about this somewhere.
Oh, man, I keep getting OBS errors over here. So hopefully if anyone's hanging out in the stream, it's not screwing up too much for you guys.
Oh, we do have Suzaz or Salzaz. He's a Badland fan.
He's an SML fan too. So he gets around.
He's a good supporter of us.
Yeah, Suzaz is a good dude. He's won a lot of contests from us. And I'm sure a couple of them have been for Badland titles.
We must have given him 3 or 4 codes.
Man, he's all about everything. The retweets. He wins too much. We gotta cut him off.
That's what he does. He's winning.
Winning in life.
Winning in life.
So I'm not sure, Xander, if you know any of the info behind this, considering you've only been with Badland for a few months, but what drew Badland to Sword Tech and Pixel Noir?
Well, from what I can gather, it was really just the aesthetic of the game and the fact that there's nothing else out there like this. I mean, this is proper noir, proper JRPG, like, referencing. As I said, I played around with it earlier, and it was awesome. But the controls are tight. The story is really interactive. I can't wait to get my hands on the free. On the free? Did I say that? On the full game.
Did you just reveal the price? Going to be a free title.
Oh, God. I thought we agreed on something different, Xander.
Free 99.
You're referring to me giving you a ball code, I assume.
Yeah, that works.
And Xander, did you know that Joe is actually in the game?
I did not know that.
Where is he in
the game?
So, okay. It's not in the pre-alpha, so if for those of you playing the pre-alpha, you won't get to see this until much later, but in the alpha, there is a sausage vendor that's like right outside of the apartment, and that's Joe. Like, it even has his full name. Like,
is this legit? Like, he's actually the sausage vendor?
No, he asks you to find his child, and then he's like, he's always getting into fights, and please track him down. And so you accept the case, and then he hands you a picture of him as a baby. That's Joe.
Oh, God. Did you really put a picture of me in the game?
Joe's picture, is it?
No. Oh. It's like a little pixelated, you know, photograph.
Pixelated Joe.
Yeah, it should be a pixelated picture of me with the beard and all as a baby.
That is actually a fantastic idea. And I don't know why I didn't think of that earlier.
You're slipping, Kunal. You're slipping.
I know. Old age does that to you.
I was walking around Pinnacle City, and I got real like Gotham feel from it. I don't know if that's what you were aiming for, but I can just envision Batman jumping along the roofs there.
It's funny. Len, he's the co-owner of Certec. He co-owns the business with me, but Len is the creative director, and I think he gets a lot of his inspiration from Philadelphia, actually, and like the way the buildings are in like downtown Philly. And I know he took a lot of inspiration from like Sin City and Blade Runner and stuff like that as well too. But
sure, yeah,
yeah.
I'll have to Google images Philadelphia later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a lot of like, you know, small cracks in the streets, a lot of the front of the apartment, you know, the facades and that sort of a thing. Uh-huh. I think they're literally ripped from Philly. Like, he took that as a direct inspiration of how that city is set up.
Is there going to be a Fresh Prince Easter egg in the game?
there's already a ton of, like, you know, references to, you know, just pop culture references and stuff like that. So, like, there's actually a poster side quest in the game. So, like, this has been there since pre-alpha, but, you know, there's actually, like, all these, like, you have to find 10 posters throughout the city to get this reward, and each poster is of like a dive bar from like a game or a movie. Like, one is like the Seventh Heaven bar from Final Fantasy. Like, another one is what is another one? It's like the one from Grim Fandango. Another one is, it's just like laid out all over the place. Snake Pit from Blade Runner.
Nice. That's really cool.
So there's nothing stopping us, man. You're just giving us ideas.
You got to put the basketball court from the beginning of the show where he gets into a fight.
You know what's funny? There is a basketball court in the city. That's funny.
You gotta find a way. Have like two people picking on a guy named Will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
his grandma stepping in.
You come back later in the game, and there's some other different person there. It's like, yeah, I heard that guy's gone. He was forced to move to LA with his auntie and uncle.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. That's awesome. I'm actually writing that down right now. I'm not gonna lie.
See that and the bearded baby picture. Dude, you've gotten so much from me for your game. It is insane. Hell, you stole my co-host.
No, you know what? Oh, I did. That's right.
You did. When Kunal first came on the show, I was doing this with someone named Tim, who was looking to get into the game industry somehow. And after Kunal, because he came up and hung out in person and Yeah, we were just chatting. They struck up a conversation, and now Tim works for Kunal.
So he's no longer over here on SML.
No, he ducked out while it was still double digits. So,
oh no,
he was one of the original co-hosts, but he's long gone. Well,
the way I see it, this balances out all the millions in royalties that you owe me.
Hey, it's okay. You've done the music for SML, and you've done the writing for Pixel Noir, so your royalties are even.
If anything, it's a good trade. You owe me another idea or two, Joe.
Bald guy. I don't know. I'm out of ideas. Dildo bat. Wait, no, Saints Row did that.
They actually did, that's right.
I don't know. What rating are you aiming for? T or M? Because that, you know, a lot of things depend on that.
I actually don't know. I don't know. Have you guys thought about that at all, Sander, from your side?
No, probably not this far away from release. I mean, we're still quite away from putting it through the rating system. So it's going to largely depend on how bloody it gets and how gruesome it gets. I mean, in the hours I've played, there's some guns, there's some shooting. So I don't know. It really depends what you're aiming for.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're probably not trying to get to that M rating intentionally. We may get there unintentionally, but, you know.
You might just want to see how far you can push it and then, like, cut back.
And then pull it back.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad way to do
it. Shorten the length of the dildo bat.
Like, we're...
It's a dildo wiffle bat.
Yeah, right. There are actually characters with like bats and like lead pipes and stuff. So maybe we'll just go all out, you know, for now, and then we'll pull it back later.
And Double Dragon had baseball bats and pipes. I don't think that's going to be any. I think a lot of blood would get you in trouble. And clearly, if you know your characters start saying fuck every other word.
Yeah, I'm on like, you know, we're good with where it is now, but like there is, you know, swearing and cursing and like, you know, stuff like that.
How but extreme really, does it get?
No, it doesn't get too bad. I think the worst he says is shit.
Yeah, because you could get away with shit in a T game.
Yeah, I think there is a guy that does say fuck you or something like that, but I don't know. I don't remember off the top of my head, but we've only written up to chapter 5 right now.
Oh, you better hurry up. What the hell are you waiting
for? So we've got like a few more chapters left. We're about 63% of the way through all the main story, but who knows? Who knows how the last few chapters will turn out? Maybe we'll go in a totally different direction and it'll just be M from there on out.
Have you got any more music to compose for the game? Because from what I've heard, there's quite a lot already.
Oh my god, there's a ton of music that is going to be coming out. Yeah, like I think I've only done probably 30% of the audio that I want in the final
game.
Good lord.
Yep.
Are you getting any guest musicians in, or is it just going to be all you all the time?
No, I'm Kikuta. So Hiroki Kikuta from Secret of Mana and Soul Calibur and a whole bunch of other stuff. He will be joining as the co-composer. So we were just talking last week around like finalizing some of the details around, you know, what he's working on versus what I'm working on.
You should have like radios in the game where you get like, I don't know, get Mustin to do like a guest chip song, get Dale, get Danny B.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have all these friends who do music and music for games. Call them up. Be like, hey.
I know for sure. There's an Arrange album actually that was as part of the Kickstarter. It was one of the stretch goals, and so we busted clear through that one. I think it was part of the main campaign actually. But yeah, no. So there's a ton of tracks that are going to be produced for this Arrange album, and I think I'm going to call it like Pixel Noir Arrange album. Just like old school Japanese, you know how they just never. It was always like Final Fantasy, and then OST, and then Final Fantasy Arrange album. Just like no, like totally nondescript.
Straight to the point.
Yeah, very straight to the point. There was blunt translation. Yeah, some translation issue or something, and it just got...
All you need is kill. Like, what?
You need to find someone to translate all the song titles to Japanese and then use Google Translate to put them back to English.
Oh, that is gold. Yeah. That is awesome. I wonder if any game has done that yet, because I feel like that would be really funny.
Look at all these ideas I'm giving you, Kunal.
I will say, Google Translate is getting better and better. I think it's like, in Chinese, it's got like, I want to say 98 or 99% accuracy.
Oh, wow. Now. All right, then go to like, Excite Translate. I don't know.
We'll go back to Babelfish, all the V3.
Fucking Babelfish. Just do a Google search for the worst translation engine. Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
Have Google help you find what's worse. I'm looking for a translation. Oh yeah, we could do that. No, I need a bad translation. Oh yeah.
It's a little self-defeating.
That's nuts. So what kind of release window are you looking at? Because it's been years, and it's got to be around the corner, huh?
Around the corner, quote unquote. So one thing is, we hit a lot of stretch goals in our Kickstarter campaign, and we have a lot of platforms to make this on. I think we've got 7 that we're aiming to simultaneously ship or sim ship on.
Which ones?
And then, so we've got Steam, so PC, Mac, Linux, 3 off the top of the bat. And then we've got PlayStation 4, PlayStation Vita, and Xbox One. So those are the 7 that we'd ship with. And then
I counted
other...
6.
No, Windows, Mac, Linux,
mm-hmm.
PS4,
mm-hmm.
PS Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox One.
That is 6.
That's 6. I've got my fingers up.
Hang on. PC, Mac, Linux.
Is 3.
Oh, shoot. I was counting that as 4.
Why?
Okay. You know what? How did... Okay, I just want to point
P is
out
one and C is another.
I just want to point this out, that I put that in the Kickstarter update, and I've shown it to like maybe 10, 15 people, and nobody caught that.
That's in the update? No one on Badlands then caught it. Uh-oh.
Nobody caught it.
Are you doing Windows 10? Could that be your 4th PC platform?
Yeah, all versions of Windows.
Because I know Windows 10 has their own dedicated store now, and if you did PC, Mac, and Linux on Steam, and then a separate Windows 10, you could possibly look into making that like an Xbox Play Anywhere title. So if you get the one version, you get the other.
Yeah, right. And then we'll do a cross play or something. No, I don't know. I clearly miscounted.
For the online multiplayer mode with the microtransactions?
Yeah, there you go. So 6 platforms for a tiny team. And then on top of that, there's additional content and stuff that needs to be developed as part of the stretch goals as well. So it sort of pushed our window out a little bit. We have a lot more features too, like New Game Plus and a few others that we're implementing. So our release window is Q1 2018, so around the corner, quote unquote. But
around the corner of the year.
Around the corner of the year, but we're actually really excited about it because we're going to be able to release a ton of content at launch, which is beyond our wildest dreams. Like that is. Going to make a world of difference for the amount of content that everybody gets. We get to release everything at once. There's not going to be any kind of like, you only get 80% of the game and then we'll release the other 20% later. You know, there's none of that.
DLC outfits.
There's none, no like, you know, porting to, you know, releasing ports every year for like years out. None of that. Like, it's going to simultaneously ship on a bunch of platforms. And so we're actually really excited about it.
You need a Sausage Vendor costume pack. It's like, today the costume vendor's in a cheerleading outfit. Tomorrow he's in a police uniform.
At MAGFest this past year, somebody was saying that they're going to come to PAX East dressed as the cat lady. from the game, from the demo. So I really hope somebody comes dressed as the sausage vendor.
I'll just be me. That's I would win, right?
I think you would win. Yeah, pretty sure you would win.
We need everybody in sausage costumes on the Badlands pack stand.
There you go. Are you guys attending PAX?
Badlands will be at PAX, yeah.
Yep, and we're going to be at the Badlands booth.
Oh, wow. Which PAX? East, Prime, South, Australia? There's like 40 of them now.
I know. PAX East. So we'll be at PAX East.
Man, I wish I could get there.
Oh, God, yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be, so we actually were part of the Badlands booth. I would call this one more of a pavilion. At one other event, it was just sort of the test of waters and see, you know, how an international audience would look like. But it was at Barcelona Games World. And I got to say that I was incredibly impressed with, like, the setup that you guys had, Xander, at that show. The Badlands booth was incredible.
Yeah, we hope to put on an even better stand at PAX East.
Yeah, there you go.
Andrew will be in attendance at Boston. Am I right in saying there's going to be a playable demo?
Oh, of course, yeah.
What? Pixel Noir with a playable demo at a convention?
No. What?
Come on, Joe, you can make it.
Kunal, smuggle me in your trunk. You see, I don't doubt that I could make it up there. It's the whole affording to stay there thing.
Affording to survive.
Yeah. I'll snuggle up at the foot of Kunal's bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, pick me up. I'll help you run the booth for the weekend.
Yeah. Actually, there's going to be a whole bunch of people from Sortech there. Where it's going to be awesome. There's going to be, let's see, me, Len, Leo, who's our lead programmer, and then from from the programming team, we're also going to have Joe and Steven. So there's going to be nearly our whole programming team there. Then we're going to have Andrew and Dickie from our marketing team, and that's up to 7 already. Did I count that right? Oh, not including me. Okay, I think we're at 8. I can't do math today, guys. I'm sorry.
Does that mean I can't sleep under the counter?
Of course you... What are you talking about? There's always room for you under the counter. Wait. Okay, that didn't sound right. This is a TV show.
No, it's not. How dare you, sir? Call this a PG show. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh my gosh.
Is Tim going to be there?
I don't think Tim is going to make it out.
Ah, man. He wasn't at MAGFest. He's not going to PAX.
I think he's in Japan right now for something or the other.
What the hell is he doing in Japan?
I don't know. Tim is always traveling. Always traveling.
He's taking photographs of girls in cosplay.
Yep. That's actually probably right. Probably 100% right. Yeah.
Good to know Tim hasn't changed at all. The success has not gone to his head.
Success has not gone to his head. Nope. He still remains from his humble... I want to say beginnings, but that's not the right word.
I wouldn't use humble
either.
Who's
the co-host now? Is there a co-host?
I have a co-host named CJ who is not here right now because I think he's been sleeping till like 5-6 o'clock lately. And
wow.
I don't think he knows too much about the game anyway. So we did have another co-host, Chris, who was with us since early days, single digits there as well. But he kind of announced that he was leaving the show because of his band and just getting too busy, so... SML is basically me, and then whoever joins me.
Have I ever met CJ?
No, I've never met CJ.
Oh.
Yeah. He started off as someone just doing reviews for us, and then I needed
Seriously, you've never met him?
I've never met him.
Oh.
I started when our review load was starting to get bigger, I put a call out. I'm like, hey, I'm looking for someone who might be interested in doing some Steam reviews because my computer is terrible and I don't mess with that stuff. And this was right after my one host, Taras, quit the show. And he was our big Steam guy, so I was kind of, you know, up shit's creek without a paddle. And I put out a call, hey, if anyone's interested in doing some Steam reviews, and he started doing them. He would write in reviews. I would read them on the show. And then I was in need of a co-host because Chris was unable to do it, and I tried asking around. None of my usual friends were able to do it. And I was like, CJ, you have a couple of reviews. Have you ever, like, read one out on a show? Do you want to try it? And it just worked, and he's been hanging out since.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So good, then.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually the best case scenario because he was like a fan before he was on the show. That's mm-hmm. like that's exactly what you want.
Yeah. Now I make him do a bunch of shit.
It's funny. That's what we look for too. At this point, we've got a full team. But when
you
we
look
hiring,
for a bunch of shit, what?
We look for a bunch of shit. Yeah. No,
that's how you got Tim.
Oh, no. We look for people who are interested, who played the game, ideally fans. We've hired a few fans because, you know, not only were they excited about the concept and the idea, but then they had the skills to back it up and you know, like one
it's
of our...
It's a win-win situation then, isn't it?
Totally a win-win situation. One of our new sprite artists, Lucas, he lives in Japan, but... he has been our fan for a while, and you know when he reached out to us, he was just really excited. And we had a few other candidates, and we looked at his art, and his art was awesome. And the fact that he was a fan just put him clear over the top, and so that's ideal.
How so Soul Tech is a global studio now.
Yeah, I think we're alone in like four time zones.
Oh,
and it was funny when we were trying to coordinate the launch yesterday for the press release and everything.
Oh yeah,
we were coordinating. Let's see, so Madrid time, then UK time, then East Coast time, and
it's
then
canal
the PR,
pouncing again.
PR company, PR
company, 18
on the West
hours
Coast.
Apart.
Yeah, so four time zones.
I think we did a pretty good job. Got it out.
We did. We were, like, pretty much right on the money. It was awesome.
It's always fun trying to coordinate that many time. Even that many time zones isn't bad, but when it's that far apart,
yeah,
that's nuts. I set up an interview for the show one time with someone in the UK who needed to do it in the morning, and I had co-host on the West Coast.
Midnight his time then.
Pretty much, and it was like 3 a.m, 4 a.m for me.
That's weird
crazy
to think about. Like, there's a whole night time in between you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird, huh?
So yeah, when people ask me, "What's your schedule like?" Anything. Give me a time. Give me a day notice so I could be on the right schedule, and we'll do it.
Yeah.
So Kunal, how big is the team now?
Oh, I think we are at, well, we've got a whole bunch of contractors since, you know, it's different from a traditional company since we're a startup still. So we've got about, I think, a team of, I want to say 17, which sounds large, which sounds big, but, you know, like we'll have multiple people covering the work of one full-time person. So
I mean, you need three assistants for yourself.
Yeah, 16 of them are my assistants, and then we've got Len. we've got 17 people. It's turning into, it's actually, we're fully staffed now, and
wow.
We're finally, I feel really good about the amount of, like, the scope of the game and the amount of work we have to do and the number of people, because it's been many, many years of, like, Len and me pulling heroics and dragging, you know, the poor team to the goal. And, you know,
don't
they've,
you
they've
quit
all...
quit on me!
No, they've been great because they've always, you know, the team has been amazing. Like, they believe in it. They live and breathe and wait, I said that wrong. They eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff. So they've just been awesome as well. But now that we have a full team, it just, oh God. Like, I can focus on music again. Last time I said that was like 2 years ago, I think, last time I was able to really focus on music. So I can finally get back to, you know, doing the stuff I love to do.
It's good to hear. I'm glad that you're able to focus on what you want to do and make the game better because of it. Instead of having to do stuff that you're not as comfortable doing, and you'd rather have someone who's better at that than you, which, you know, a lot of people out there.
Yeah. Well, that's where the Badlands partnership comes in really great, because, you know, marketing, porting, QA, localization, all these are like very, very time consuming things. And you really have to know your stuff to make any kind of impact at all. So the launch this week just proves that, you know, Badlands was a great partner to have at the table. We're really thankful.
We got a lot of interest on that press release. A lot. I don't know if it's just that they're more vocal, but we have a large PS Vita following, and they were all over this.
Yeah. Love it. I'll say the PS Vita is the only console that I get regular, usually multiple times a week, questions about on social media.
Right.
That's why we, you know, we really fought to make sure that they were, we could, you know, launch, on PS Vita as part of the, you know, simultaneous launch. But they have been so, like, amazing, vocal, supportive. Like, we really wanted to make sure that, you know, they feel the love.
I think Vita owners are hungry for good games because they've been given the shaft by Sony for the most part. I'm sure, I know you guys can't really talk negative about Sony, but as a Vita owner, it's a shame how much Sony has ignored the system. They just kind of just gave up on it, and it's a fantastic piece of hardware. The games that do come out for are, you know, great RPGs. It is like a perfect RPG machine. I just wish Sony had more faith in their own hardware.
What I will say is that in my discussions with Sony, they have been really excited about releasing Pixel Noir and Vita. They actually have given us a tremendous amount of support to, you know, make sure that we have the resources we need to be able to release on both PS4 and Vita. But they were, yeah, very excited that we were doing both consoles and not just PS4.
I do sense that the Vita fans are hungry, because whenever we announce the game, it's like, okay, we've got a game. Now put it in a box. Like, where's the box version? We want a box. So it's another frequently asked question.
Speaking of boxes, are you guys looking at a retail release for this?
I can neither confirm nor deny without Secretary's approval. No, but seriously, like, it depends on the game, depends like how well it does in the different regions. There's like a whole load of factors. I mean, certainly for Pixel Noir, getting the game right and into the hands of all these backers from the Kickstarter has to be a priority, and then we can explore further options later on.
Collector edition with a statue of a piece of sausage or a sausage plushie.
We love putting games into boxes, though. We love it.
Yeah, I would love to see it get a physical release. I would buy that.
Yeah, and I'll just add that the physical was not even close to being on the table before we signed with Badlands. So just the fact that that potential is there is huge.
Do you see any kind of cool, like, Kunal, if you were to design your own collector's edition, what would you put in it?
I would put in, I think I'd put in, is this a digital collection or a physical?
A physical collector edition, you know, shit that you put on your shelves.
There's a briefcase reward from the Kickstarter, isn't there?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah,
I love that mock-up.
Yeah, there. So we have a one of the coolest rewards that I, for me personally, from the Kickstarter, was this briefcase. It was an extremely high tier, but what would happen is you would get sort of the detective's briefcase, and inside it you'd find kind of like case dossiers on a lot of the cases that you'd be able to play through in the game, and some that would be harder to find without the right code and that sort of a thing. So like there's a few cases that that are going to be just you know, just having this briefcase will just make it that much easier to initiate that you know, those quests. But just the fact that you would get kind of a briefcase full of like these kind of coffee stained frayed edges type,
yeah,
you know,
like it's been used,
like it's been used by like a drunk, not drunk, but you know, like you know, washed out detective private eye type guy who's just got like scotch bottles all over the place and you know, coffee stains and like crumpled paper, and the fact that we would try to make it like that, I thought was one of the coolest rewards. I would definitely have that in there. I'd probably have, you know, the soundtrack for me personally, the Arrange album as well, just because, you know, I'm a musician and you got to do that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
I feel like I rushed listening to all the tracks that are on the game so far. I can't wait for more.
Yeah, we've received a lot of good feedback, which makes me feel awesome. And we just won that audio award at MAGFest. So I was talking to Kikuda-san about it, and he was really excited and happy to be a part of the game too. He's, you know, one of my idols, in the fact that he really liked the soundtrack, and he was pointing out tracks that, you know, were his favorites to me. Kind of life changing for me. Kind of like just like, wow, oh my god, this is like, I grew up playing this guy's games and, you know, listening to his music all the time.
So cool.
Yeah.
I really am sad I couldn't back that that briefcase tier.
That sounds cool, right?
I really like... did want to do it, but it was the first time that you guys did the Kickstarter, and that was, I think that was like a 250 tier.
Yeah.
We had it backed there, but the second time around we just didn't have the money, and the 350 we couldn't do.
Yeah, no. I appreciate the fact that you backed.
You got like really 110 out of us though.
Yeah, so. you guys definitely were up there. I mean, that's amazing. And honestly, it's not like there's you know, you're going to be locked out of finding those quests or anything like that. And who knows? It might just show
exactly
up.
Exactly, because you're going to tell me everything anyway.
Yeah, so that's what's going to happen. There's not going to be any like wiki online. It's just going to be Joe grilling us for questions, Andrew, and then we'll just
tell me the goddamn quest.
So, how many of these briefcases ended up being made?
Only
five. Can you tell us?
It was a limited edition tier. So we limited it, I think to five.
Wow. It says so, eight backers. So hopefully you made more than five.
No, maybe it was 10 and then eight. Does it say 8 of 10 on there?
It just says eight backers, limited.
Okay, yeah, so I think it was maybe 10.
Two extra, so one's going to find its way to my house.
Yeah, right. There you go. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Say no more. But that was probably my, like, outside of the Arrange album, that was probably my favorite reward personally. I definitely would love to have that in a physical release.
What are some of the other cool big tiers that you had that people backed?
There was a ton of creation tiers, and those, I was frankly really interested to see what came of those. So there was a tier where somebody got to, you know, people got to make their own NPC, and we've actually already started working with those folks to get their concepts and start building them out. And so like one of my favorite concepts was just this guy that is just constantly drinking tea, and he's just like a nonchalant, kind of bored dude, just always drinking tea. I don't know. And so he has all these quotes about teas and stuff like that. Like, and he, I don't know. Everyone came up with really creative concepts. I think all of them are really neat. And then that was one. Another one was you got to make your own boss. That was really cool. So that they'll be, you know, they'll be throughout the game. Another one was that you get to kind of make your own level or area, and then, you know, fill it with, you know, you could pick from the different NPCs and bosses, and you could fill that area however you want to. Just a lot of cool things in there.
They paid to make the game for you.
Yeah.
It's the, taking the easy way out. Yeah.
Pretty much. But yeah, no, we're actually really excited about those, because we'll get to see, you know, it's one thing to kind of make the content and then like sit back and then see how people react to it. But it's another for people to be like, no, we want this. And then, yeah. And then we get that direct feedback, and then we can build that into the game in a way that makes sense within the kind of world of the game. So I'm really excited about those tiers.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I feel like I snuck my way into being the sausage vendor without paying for the tier.
You did, but that's the friend discount.
Sweet. So. Well, you're the one who said that, oh, yeah, you're the sausage vendor. And it just got to the point where it's like, if you're making me the sausage vendor, you better make his name Joe.
Actually, I think we use your full name. I'm pretty sure.
Joe like Camisa or just Joe Cam?
No. I think, well, he introduces himself as Joseph Camisa right now.
Nice.
And then he's just referred to as Joe after that. But like when he introduces himself, like, you know.
He's taking the birth certificate route.
Joseph. Nice. Yep. Just make sure you get the last name spelled right, because everyone fucks that up.
Yeah, like 5 M's and 8 S's or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 and 1, but close enough. We've had some crazy spellings of that name.
Yeah, I bet.
So what I kind bet. Of... Try... Go ahead.
I was just going to add, just try Kunal Majumdar on for size.
No, I'm good.
That name has been misspelled. I get Kundalini a lot for some reason. Anyway,
Kunalingus? We can move on, but...
Yeah. There have been a lot of misspellings.
Fantastic. So, what kind of changes has Badland wanted you guys to make with the game? Any kind of adjustments that they have on their end? Xander, is there anything you personally need Kunal to change about the game? Maybe add a Xander in the game.
You could add a Xander to the game. Yeah, I could pull off a pretty good hallucination.
I just keep getting asks for microtransactions and freemium.
Pay to win.
No, actually, they have been great about, you know, not really, like, they've been, you know, giving us good feedback around, hey, you know, what if you enhance this mechanic this way or that way? Wouldn't that be fun? But, you know, in terms of the, you know, creativity and the intellectual property, they really let us kind of go wild with it. And so far, you know, I don't think we've disagreed on anything creatively just yet. So knock on wood, but, we've been getting along, you know, perfectly great so far in terms of that.
Xander, what's the real drama?
Well, there isn't really. There is none. I mean, that's what I was alluding to before. Like, if we can just be the support and everything except the design of the game, sure, we'll give some feedback on systems and, you know, bugs and stuff. But we really just want the game unaltered, like how Sortek envision it. So if we can do our job and distribute, market, QA, everything else, then this is going to be a big success.
If you saw something that you guys weren't like completely pleased with, or you think that there's something that could be improved, are you the kind of publisher that would step in and be like, no, you got to change this? Or would you just make the suggestion and let the game live or die by the devs?
I don't know if I can answer because I'm still on probation. No, but really, like, we're really laid back. We're not like some of these bigger, like, AAA distributors. We're not going to come down from our high horse and demand changes. Like, everything can be talked about, like, from both ends, Hortech and Badlands. I feel very much approachable.
I want to buy a level up pack for $4.99.
No.
I want to be like the Tails games.
Too. Like, if Canal started saying, hey, what about $50 to skip half a game? Obviously, that's not going to happen, but...
Yeah, you don't want to make that more than $19.99.
Yeah, right. There you go.
You got to be reasonable about it.
Yeah. No, we're really grateful. Like I said before, like we've been talking to a lot of publishers over the years, and the common theme so far outside of Badlands has really been, how are you monetizing, and why don't you have a more kind of modern monetization strategy? You know, who wants to pay for the game once and that's it? Like, that, you can't make money like that. You have to add in microtransactions and this and that. And so we really lucked out with Badlands. We're really happy with them.
Is there anyone who just completely insulted you with an offer that you want to shit talk on the show?
I was considering it, actually, but no, I won't. You know.
What if I were to say, I guarantee you nobody's going to hear it?
Nah, it's not the right thing to do.
Okay, we'll wait until the stream's over.
In voice.
It's like, no, it's not the right thing. I'll tell you those stories over drinks.
Sounds good.
You gotta come to PAX East for that, though.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. PAX East. Oh, that's, if Kunal picks me up and hides me in his trunk, I'm going.
I think something can be arranged.
That'd be great. Either that or just come visit again. We'll have more pizza.
Yeah, there you go.
Xander could fly over to Wilkes-Barre, PA, and have some pizza and then head home.
I'm just coming for the pizza, then.
That's it. Every Kunal visit. He drives 2.5-3 hours, hangs out for like 2 hours, and then has to go home.
Yeah. I just always have stuff going on. I don't know. It's just
you and your crazy. Being busy and having a life. How dare you?
You would have thought you'd got a game coming out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's, I used to do this. Have a day job and go teach classes at a university, and then also do freelance composing for other games and films and TV. And I kid you not, those were some of the most stressful days of my life. I, to the point where I would get to where I'm going and I'm like, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I here for? Totally unprepared. So I'm actually really grateful that I've been able to tone it down a little bit and work in some time to see my friends again.
So Kunal, do you have any ideas of what is going to happen after Pixel Noir? Do you guys have plans for a second title or even like a companion title? Or are you guys just 100% focused on Pixel Noir?
We've had some ideas of, you know, other games and other, not necessarily even Pixel Noir IP, but just, you know, other types of games, just cool game designs that we've wanted to test out at some point. I mean, you know, think about it. We've been working on this for 6 years now, so we've had plenty of time to think about, you know, beyond Pixel Noir, what are other types of games we'd want to make?
Is your next game going to be another 6 years?
Better not. Yeah, so I don't know that we have anything, you know, any hard plans just yet. I think we're just all in for Pixel Noir, all chips on the table. Want to make sure that this does really well and that we're able to give this the attention that it deserves. And we've absolutely got other ideas on the table in the back of our heads that we'll definitely want to test out.
The Pixel Noir Match 3 puzzle game where you could transfer your earnings over to the main game.
Companion app.
companion app, yeah.
There you go. I did that with Knack on the PS4, and every now and then I'll still fire it up and be like, I wonder if there's any artifacts I didn't get yet.
You know, there's the Final Fantasy 8 and 9 card games. I wish, you know, there was like online versions that came up way later, but I really wish that those games were just like, you know, that at some point somebody had thought to make those into like solid official iOS games or something like that. Just,
man,
I feel like
Triple Triad in 8 was the shit.
I know.
They ruined it in with Tetramaster. I hated Tetramaster 9.
I like Tetramaster. I understand. It was slightly different, but I like them both in their own way. But yeah, I love those games. Actually, you know, for Final Fantasy IX, I think I ended up playing Tetramaster way more than I played like the rest. I just went through, I didn't do as many side quests as I did really just Tetramaster. The game was amazing.
I wasted hours of my life doing Triple Triad in 8. Just going, and you would go to the one town and be like, hey, our new rule here is random. And you're like, no. Then you talk to him again. It's like, it's random. And you're like, still no. You do it like 5 times and eventually he gives up. It's like, all right, whatever. We won't do random.
Yeah, right.
Random is the worst thing in that.
Yeah, they're such good games. I don't know. Yeah, I just keep thinking like they should have really made those into, you know, just standalone companion apps or something. Like, just, you know, do it up.
Well, you have the IP. Do a non-IP infringing remake of it.
Yeah, right. Ours will be quadruple triad. I don't know.
Thripple tie bad. I don't know.
Right.
Xander, so this, just so this isn't entirely Pixel Noir related, what else is Badland working on?
Oh, we've always got something brewing that I can't talk about.
what can you talk about? What kind of fun stuff is going on?
Well, we're going to PAX, and we're taking what I've called Sexy Noir. So we're taking the Sexy Brutale, and we're also taking Pixel Noir. So on the Badlands booth, they'll... be 2 games you can come check out. The Sexy Brutale is a physical release. I'm very happy to put it into a box. Give the gamers some extras. That's coming up soon, actually. We just had Nightmare Boy greenlit on Steam. That's a Metroidvania platformer.
Nice.
Very happy with how that's looking. Boar, did you play Boar? I gave you that cheeky code.
I have not had time with it yet. I do have it downloaded. I've just been so busy with other stuff, I've been unable to fire it up yet.
Oh, it's one of those games where I would like spend all day like promoting it, doing social media, doing like small edits.
Well, hype it up here. Talk YouTube. About it.
And then I would get home and just play it. I just wanted to see the end. I couldn't put it down. It was really good. It is really good. I don't know if there's been a game like it where you can just like multiply yourself for a short duration to solve a puzzle, to open a door, to press a button. I found it really inventive. And it was just a one-man band developer, so he did exceptionally well. Had good, very good reception as well.
Very good.
Yeah, play it, please. Otherwise, I'll have that code back.
Oh, I absolutely will play it. We will be reviewing it on the show. I guarantee it will be played.
Okay, good.
I don't get codes and then not play the game on the show. I can't be a dick like that. It's like, you guys are awesome enough to give me a game. I'm going to play it and I'm going to talk about it on the show.
I was a bit concerned because we haven't got Boar on Xbox, so I figured you were just an Xbox.
Is it going to come to Xbox eventually?
Who knows?
I know Dead Synchronicity was at one point planned for Xbox. Is that still happening or did that kind of fall apart?
I don't have details on that one. I honestly don't know. I put my hand on my heart and say I'm not sure what's happening with Dead Sync on Xbox. But we got Vostok on the way. Seen Vostok?
I have not. What's that about?
That is a Wolf of Wall Street meets space CEO. It's ludicrous. I've got to show you what it is, really. It's where you're the CEO of this like lucrative company, and you're just milking the galaxy for every credit you can get. And we'll be displaying that at GDC, actually. Ben, our country manager, will be in attendance there on the IDEA Xbox showcase stand. So if you are an Xbox fan and you know where the IDEA showcase is at GDC, then come say hello.
I unfortunately never get to PAX East might be possible for me because it's East Coast, but I haven't been to the West Coast since I was a kid.
Far behind in terms of time zones.
One, I know the guys from like Mike Micah and Adam Rippon of Other Ocean have been trying to get me out there for a long time. So hopefully one day.
Yeah, we could just come down to the Badlands International office in Weston-super-Mare, Somerset, United Kingdom.
I would love to travel overseas. That'd be fun. I would enjoy doing that. What kind of games are you guys looking forward to that aren't Badland related? Like, what's coming out that is on your radar?
On my radar?
Both of you.
I'm really looking forward to... Is it Pirates of the Sea by Rare? Let me just double check. Sorry if this is a loud keyboard.
Oh god. There's this Sea of Thieves. Awesome. I was trying to think what it was. Sea of Thieves.
That's it. Really looking forward to that. I've been playing a lot of DayZ as well, waiting for a new patch. Just find it hilarious how it's the players essentially. Like there's nothing in the world other than the players, so it's really up to the players to like craft their own stories. Kind of a weird twist on the, I guess it was the first zombie apocalypse survival game. Other than that, I've been playing Boar. I had to complete Boar. Can't emphasize enough how much fun I had with it. And occasionally I'll jump in for a game of Rocket League, or very rarely Dota.
Rocket League is always good.
Yeah. It's less so with Dota, but I'm slowing down. The reactions just aren't quite there. I used to play a little bit of Counter-Strike competitively, but times change.
I'm looking at screenshots of Vostok, and it looks batshit crazy.
Yeah, that's probably the
first. I can attest, when I played Vostok Inc. in Barcelona, that game was phenomenal. It was really, really fun.
And definitely Nightmare Boy looks really cool too. And I see on your website that one's listed as Xbox, so I'm excited about that as well.
It's probably going to be, I don't know if you heard, but Steam Greenlight's shutting down.
Yeah.
There was some lawsuit. I can't remember the party's names, but they're phasing out Greenlight as a result, and it's just going to be Steam Direct. So as far as I know, the developer or publisher will just pay a flat fee to get their content on the store, which is a shame because it's nice to sort of gauge the interest. I mean, Nightmare Boy was probably 2 weeks on the green light, same as Boar. It was just an opportunity to give developers a shortcut into the storefront, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now, what are you going to do? Some people abuse the system and ruin it for everyone.
Occasionally we'd get emails like, for 300 euros, we can greenlight your game, like with all these fake accounts to...
Oh, God.
...unvote it or whatever.
And I see Sousa posting a Vostok trailer in the chat as well. So everyone's excited for your stuff.
So glad we didn't have to deal with that craziness with Steam. That process can be so broken because they're right. You can almost like buy your way onto the system if you don't.
Oh,
you
know, yeah,
it's really awful. So I'm glad that we just got green lit organically. We didn't have to deal with that.
No, Kunal, I'll have to return the money you gave me to upvote your green light thing. Don't take me out of the game. Yeah. Don't take me out of the game. It's not my fault they removed it.
No Prince of Bel-Air reference for you.
Oh, I gotta give Suzar's another shout out. Suzar's is such a great Badlander. He's everywhere and I love him.
He is. He's awesome. He's super dedicated to our show as well. I know it seems like every time I watch someone on Twitch or on Beam, I'll see his name pop up. I think he is on every channel at once.
Suzar's, you can go play the Pixel Noir Alpha and give us some feedback.
Do it.
The Twitter for details.
Is it the Alpha or the pre-Alpha?
It's the pre-alpha for non-backers, is that right? And the backers get a slightly more up-to-date version.
Yep.
So, Kunal, when am I getting the new alpha?
I don't think I could talk about
Cut
that.
Cut the shit
you.
And give it to me.
what are you talking about? We've got Baystar.
Yeah, right.
We went gold. Like... We just, you know,
we're feeding you builds. We're actually just sitting on a gold version.
That's right. It's just laughing.
Kunal, when it's finished, are you going to take a picture of the disc and like hold it up and post it on Twitter like everyone does nowadays?
Or you mean like pull a Donald Trump or something like that? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm going to do that. No, I'm excited. I have a shelf of like the different albums I've put out over the years, but this will be the first game that I can say I
that deserves a shelf of its own, surely.
Yeah, I know, you're right, exactly.
Its own
gotta get
room.
One of these briefcases, and that just sits on the shelf.
It'll just be on top of the briefcase. Yeah, that's right.
It's got to be like its own dedicated room with like red carpeting and, you know, silk walls and just a marble pedestal in the middle with the briefcase and then the gold disc just on top.
And the fingerprint recognition to bring it up from below.
Yeah, optical scanner or something like that. Yeah, 100%.
Voice recognition. Hey guys. Hey. Come on, guys. Come on.
Wait. That sounds like Vert, if anything. Come on.
I miss that dude, too.
Love you, Jake.
Don't worry, he's not listening either.
Yeah, right. But that guy's too busy.
But anyway, I know we've been chatting for over an hour now. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about? Because I know, Kunal, you said you didn't have too much time left.
Yeah, I have to jet in a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I have things to do. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Or Xander, anything you wanted to chat about?
I think we touched base on most things, haven't we? Some of the other games coming from Badland Games, the fact we're going to GDC and PAX, and the fact that anybody out there can play a pre-alpha build of Pixel Noir and give us some feedback. If you do so, you get 2 downloadable songs. As an incentive.
I hear the music's kind of eh.
No, the music's amazing. I might even set it as my ringtone. Do.
Nice. I hope to hear that when we finally do meet up.
And hopefully I'm in Kunal's trunk, I'll meet up too. Anyway, Kunal, Xander, it has been incredible talking to the both of you. I am ridiculously excited that Sword Tech and Badland have hooked up. Kunal, you've been a good friend of mine for well over a decade now. I love you to death, and I am excited to see you getting really, really far with this game. Every time I see it is just bigger, better, and I'm not just saying this because you're my friend and I'm in the game. And Xander, Badland, like I said, you guys have been amazing for me in my show. I hope that Kunal does well by you guys, and I hope you do well by them. It's like seeing two of my best friends get married. And it's like, I want you to love each other the way I love you. But it has been fantastic having you both on the show today. Please come back again sometime soon.
Thank you so much for the invite. Honestly, just invite me back anytime.
Absolutely.
I love you, man. This is great. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Kunal, we've had you do the witty final words a few times before. So, Xander, we're going to give you the honors. Give us some final words to end the show.
the first person that approaches a Badland employee in a sausage costume from Pixel Noir gets a Badland sticker. We'll be right back. can I ask what Crimson Tits is on this stream?